All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back for another deep dive with us.
Always a pleasure.
You know what? We've been getting so much great feedback from you guys about how much you love these deep dives into teaching.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And how to just improve your skills as an educator, as a communicator.
The passion we share.
Yeah. And so we decided to keep going down that path. And we found this amazing book called How to Teach Without Creating Confusion by DeMarcus Cullors.
Oh, this is a good one.
And I think this is going to be a really, really helpful one for you all because it is so practical.
Yes. Very hands-on. Very applicable.
So we're going to jump right into it.
Let's do it.
All right. So one of the things that really struck me right off the bat was how Cullors talks about this idea of filtering and simplifying information.
Oh, that's huge. And it's so relevant right now because we're just bombarded with information constantly.
It's overwhelming.
It really is. And I think he says it really well when he says, in the age of information abundance, your main value as an instructor is more in the filtering, simplification, personalization, rigor, and feedback you provide.
Wow, what a mouthful.
It is. But if you think about it, it's not about just knowing everything anymore.
Yay.
It's about being able to curate it, to cut through all that noise and make it digestible.
Oh, man, that just reminded me of this time I was trying to learn how to code.
Oh, yeah.
And I had signed up for this online course, and it was like drinking from a fire hose. I was just completely overwhelmed.
Look in there.
There's just so much jargon and concepts, and I felt so lost.
So how'd you get past that?
Well, I was lucky enough to find this amazing mentor, and she just had this way of explaining things in these really simple bite-sized pieces, and suddenly coding just clicked.
That's the power of a good teacher.
Totally, and that's what Cullors is getting at. It's not about being the smartest person in the room. It's about making complex things understandable.
It's about being a guide, a facilitator.
And that brings us to his first tip, which is start with what's useful.
Oh, that's so important.
So instead of just throwing everything at your learners all at once, you prioritize the most practical information.
The stuff they can actually use.
Right. Like he gives the example of teaching high frequency words in a language class.
Oh, that's a great example.
Because you're more likely to use those in everyday conversations.
Makes so much more sense than starting with obscure vocabulary.
Right. It's about giving people the tools they need to actually do something with what they're learning.
Exactly. It's about making it relevant to their lives.
And I think that's so key for keeping people engaged and motivated too, because if they can see how what they're learning is useful, they're more likely to stick with it.
Absolutely. It's about showing them the value of what they're learning right from the start.
It's like if you were teaching someone basic first aid, you wouldn't start with the rarest, most complicated procedures, right?
No, you'd focus on the essential life-saving skills.
CPR, how to stop bleeding.
The things they'd actually need in an emergency.
Exactly. So I guess the question for all of us is, what are those must-know basics in our own fields?
What are the foundational concepts that would give someone a solid starting point?
That's a great question to ponder.
It really makes you think about what's truly important.
So building on this idea of starting with what's useful, Cullors' second tip is one concept at a time.
Pacing is crucial.
Have you ever been in a lecture or workshop where the information was coming at you so fast you just couldn't keep up?
Oh, yeah. Information overload.
It's like trying to drink from a fire hose.
You get a few drops, but most of it just goes right past you.
And Cullors actually says, whatever you were talking about, the student has to think about.
It's so true.
We need to give our learners time to process and absorb the information.
And that's something we often forget as teachers.
We get so excited about sharing what we know.
We want to give them everything all at once.
But it's like trying to teach someone to juggle by throwing five balls at them at the same time.
They're just going
to
drop them all?
Exactly. We need to break it down into smaller, more manageable steps.
One concept at a time.
And allow for individual differences in learning pace.
Some people grasp things quickly, others need more time.
And that's totally okay.
It's about creating a learning environment that supports everyone.
And speaking of creating the right learning environment, Cullors' third tip is easy to hard.
Build that solid foundation.
We've all had those experiences where we jumped ahead too quickly and missed a crucial concept.
It's like trying to build a house without a foundation.
The whole thing's going to collapse.
Exactly. Yeah. You need those building blocks, those fundamental principles.
And I think this tip is especially important for maintaining motivation.
Because if learners get stuck early on, they're more likely to give up.
Right. So by starting with easier concepts and gradually increasing the difficulty, you're building their confidence.
It's about those little wins. Those small successes that keep people going.
I'm thinking about the time I tried to teach myself how to play guitar.
Oh, yeah.
I want to play all these cool riffs right away.
We've all been there.
But I skipped over the basic chords and finger exercises.
The fundamentals.
And it was a disaster. It was so frustrating.
It's like trying to run before you can walk.
Exactly. Eventually, I realized I had to go back to the basic.
And build up your skills gradually.
Which is exactly what Colors is talking about.
It's not just about mastery. It's about building confidence and preventing discouragement.
I love that it's so insightful.
He really gets it.
So we've talked about starting with what's useful, one concept at a time. Easy to hard. And now for his fourth tip, Colors says show both sides of the coin.
Now that's an interesting one.
I know. What do you think he means by that?
Well, I think he's saying that we need to use both positive and negative examples to really solidify understanding.
So it's not just about showing what something is.
It's also about showing what it isn't.
Okay. So it's about contrasts and comparisons.
Exactly. And he's a big fan of using analogies.
Oh, yeah. Analogies are great.
They help people relate new information to something they already understand.
They're like those little mental bridges.
And he even talks about opposite analogies, which is comparing something to something completely different.
So like a mirror image almost.
Yeah. To highlight the key distinctions.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. He talks about how teaching Spanish verb conjugation can be tricky.
Oh, yeah. It's so different from English.
Right. But he suggests comparing it to older forms of English like Shakespearean English.
Well, right. Like thou art and he goeth.
Exactly. Because those older forms actually have more in common with Spanish conjugation than modern English does.
Wow. I never thought about it that way.
It's fascinating, right?
So by contrasting those examples, learners can see a pattern they might not have noticed otherwise.
Exactly. It's about making those unexpected connections.
Those aha moments.
That make learning stick.
I love it. So we've covered four of Colors' tips so far, starting with what's useful, one concept at a time, easy to hard, and showing both sides of the coin. And for his fifth tip, he dives into an area I think we can all relate to.
Oh, which is?
Those times when we get things mixed up because they seem so similar.
Ah, yes. The similar but different dilemma.
It's like trying to tell apart identical twins.
You know, they're not the same, but those subtle differences can be so tricky.
And as teachers, we need to be aware of those potential pitfalls.
We need to anticipate where learners might get tripped up.
Colors even has this great quote. He says, "We sometimes revel in the theoretical and philosophical lump skills or topics together and then expect the learner to just know."
Wow, that's powerful.
It's like he's calling us out on those times when we've made assumptions about what learners should already know.
And we haven't provided clear explanations.
It's so easy to fall into that trap.
Especially when you're an expert in a subject.
You forget what it's like to be a beginner.
Exactly. And Colors is reminding us that effective teaching requires empathy.
We need to put ourselves in the learner's shoes.
And anticipate those moments of potential confusion.
So let's dive into some specific examples of this separate, similar but different principle in action.
Sounds good.
And Colors uses some great illustrations from Spanish language learning.
Of course.
He talks about the words digo, which means I say,
rap.
And dijo, which means he or she said.
Which to a novice learner might look almost identical.
They might easily mix them up.
Especially without a clear understanding of verb conjugation.
And that kind of misunderstanding can lead to all sorts of errors.
And frustration.
So how does Colors suggest we approach these tricky situations?
Well, he emphasizes the importance of separating these concepts.
Presenting them distinctly.
And providing clear explanations of their differences.
So it's not about dumbing things down.
It's about presenting information in a way that's clear and digestible.
It's like creating a mental map for our learners.
Highlighting the key landmarks and boundaries.
So they don't get lost in the conceptual wilderness.
I love that analogy.
Me too. And I think that's a great place to pause for now.
Okay.
We've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive.
We have.
Exploring Colors' first five tips for teaching without creating confusion.
Some really great insights.
We've talked about starting with what's useful, pacing the introduction of concepts building from easy to hard, using both positive and negative examples, and separating similar but different concepts.
All essential strategies for effective teaching.
Absolutely. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll continue our exploration of Colors' brilliant advice and delve even deeper into the art of teaching.
Can't wait.
See you there.
See you then.
Welcome back, you guys. It's great to be diving back into Colors' book with you.
I agree. There's just so much good stuff in here.
So much good stuff. And I love how we ended the last part talking about this idea of separating similar but different concepts.
Oh, yeah. It's so crucial for avoiding confusion.
It really is, because as teachers, it's so easy to assume that our learners can just automatically distinguish between things that seem similar to us.
Yeah, we forget what it's like to be a novice.
Exactly. And I've been thinking about how this applies to my own learning experiences. Like, I remember when I was first trying to understand different types of investments.
Yeah.
You know, stocks, bonds, mutual funds.
Oh, yeah.
It all just seemed like this big jumble of financial jargon.
It can be overwhelming.
It totally was. And I really wish someone had taken the time to break down those subtle but important differences.
Yeah. And that's exactly what Colors is stressing. It's about putting ourselves in the learner's shoes.
Seeing things from their perspective.
And recognizing that what seems obvious to us might be completely foreign to them.
Right. Because you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to be intentional about how we present information.
To really think about those potential points of confusion.
And to provide clear explanations and examples.
You know, I'm also wondering if this separate, similar, but different principle applies to more abstract concepts as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just concrete things like financial terms or verb conjugation.
It applies to anything that has subtle but important variations.
Whether it's scientific principles, historical lines, philosophical ideas.
The key is to identify those areas where learners might struggle to differentiate.
And then to find ways to highlight those distinctions. So let's say I'm trying to teach a concept that has these subtle but important variations. What are some specific strategies I can use?
Well, one strategy is to be really intentional about the order in which you present information.
So, like, planning your lessons carefully.
Exactly. You want to think about which concepts might be easily confused.
And sequence them in a way that minimizes confusion.
For example, let's say you're teaching a history lesson about different forms of government.
Okay.
You might start by introducing the concept of a democracy.
Okay.
Making sure that's clear before moving on to, say, an oligarchy.
Which has some similarities, but also some key differences.
Exactly. It's about building a solid foundation.
Brick by brick.
So that learners don't get lost along the way.
And while you're doing that, you can point out those subtle differences, even if they seem small.
Yeah, because those small differences can make a big difference in understanding.
That's a great analogy.
Thanks. And another strategy that could be really helpful is using visual aids.
Oh, yeah. Visuals are so powerful.
Things like charts, diagrams, timelines.
You can make abstract concepts so much easier to grasp.
Like, remember that investment example you were talking
about?
Yeah. Imagine a simple chart comparing stocks, bonds, and mutual funds.
Oh, that would have been so helpful.
Right. It would have made those differences so much clearer.
And visuals are great for making connections and seeing patterns.
Absolutely. And I'm also a big fan of using real-world examples.
Me too, because they make the information more relatable.
They help learners see how the concepts apply to their own lives.
Like, for example, if you're teaching about different economic systems.
You could use real-world examples of countries that represent each system.
Right. It brings the concepts to life.
It makes them more concrete and meaningful.
So we've got intentional sequencing, visual aids, real-world examples. Any other tools in the teacher's toolkit?
Well, there's one more powerful tool that we haven't mentioned yet, analogies.
Oh, yeah. We talked about those earlier.
In the context of using both positive and negative examples.
Right.
But analogies can also be really helpful for separating similar but different concepts.
Because they help us bridge the gap between the familiar and the unfamiliar.
Exactly. It's like using a mental shortcut.
But I have to admit, I've also encountered some analogies that were more confusing than helpful.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. Like those ones that are so far-fetched.
You end up scratching your head.
That's a great point. Not all analogies are created equal.
So how do you choose good ones?
Well, the key is to choose analogies that resonate with your learners.
And that accurately represent the concepts you're trying to convey.
You also need to explain the analogy clearly.
Highlighting the specific points of comparison.
And it's important to acknowledge the limitations of the analogy.
Because it's not always a perfect representation of reality.
Right. It's just a tool for understanding.
Like a map.
Exactly. It can help you get your bearings.
But it's not the territory itself.
And just like a map can help you navigate a physical space.
Analogies can help you navigate conceptual spaces.
They can help learners see the big picture, make connections.
And ultimately grasp the essence of what you're trying to teach.
I love that. That's a great way to put it.
This has been such a rich discussion. I feel like we've really dug deep into Colors' tips for avoiding confusion.
Especially when it comes to those tricky similar but different situations.
We've talked about the importance of careful planning,
clear explanations,
visual aids,
real-world examples,
and those wonderful mental bridges we call analogies.
It's all about finding ways to make information clear and accessible.
And you know what's really striking to me?
What's that?
Is how much of this advice applies not just to teaching, but to learning in general.
Oh, absolutely.
Colors is essentially giving us a blueprint for how to approach new information, how to break it down, make sense of it, integrate it into our understanding of the world.
And that's something we can all benefit from.
Whether we're in a formal classroom setting or just exploring new ideas on our own.
Exactly. Think about Kohler's suggestion to start with what's useful and practical first.
Right.
That principle can be applied to any learning endeavor.
We can prioritize the information that has the most immediate relevance to us.
And that can help us build momentum and motivation.
And it's not just about the order in which we approach information.
It's also about the way we process it.
Kohler's emphasis on pacing, on taking things one concept at a time.
That's crucial for effective learning.
We need to give ourselves time to digest, reflect, make connections.
Rushing through material might feel productive in the short term,
but it often leads to shallow understanding
and quickly forgotten facts.
It's like trying to cram for an exam.
You might be able to regurgitate the information on test day,
but it's unlikely to stick with you long term.
That's a great point. And it reminds me of something else Kohler's talks about.
What's that?
The importance of building a solid foundation.
Whether we're learning a new skill, exploring a new subject,
or just trying to understand a new concept,
we need to start with the basics
and gradually build upon that foundation.
And as we do that,
we need to be mindful of those similar but different traps.
Right.
We need to be willing to slow down, ask questions, seek clarification.
When we encounter those subtle but important distinctions,
that can make all the difference.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation.
I agree.
I feel like I'm walking away with a whole new set of tools and strategies.
For both teaching and learning.
And the best part is that these insights are applicable to so many areas of life.
Absolutely.
Whether we're trying to teach a new skill, explain complex concepts,
or just share our knowledge and experiences with others.
Kohler's tips can help us communicate more effectively.
And create more engaging learning experiences.
Well said. We've covered a lot of ground in this second part of our deep dive.
We have, and there's still more to come.
I'm excited to continue this journey in part 3.
Me too.
Where we'll explore even more practical tips and strategies for becoming more effective teachers and learners.
It's going to be great.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, for our final deep dive into How to Teach Without Creating Confusion by DeMarcus Kohler's.
I'm so glad we chose this book.
Me too. It's so chock full of practical advice.
It really is. It's not just theoretical fluff.
You know, one of the things that keeps coming back to me throughout this whole deep dive is the importance of empathy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like really putting yourself in the learner's shoes.
Trying to see things from their perspective.
And Kohler's really emphasizes that, doesn't he?
He does. It's a recurring theme throughout the book.
Like it's almost as if he's saying, hey, before you even start teaching, take a moment to think about what it's like to be on the receiving end of this information.
Exactly. And that's where all those strategies we've been talking about come into play.
Right. Starting with what's useful.
Pacing the information.
Building from easy to hard.
Using both positive and negative examples.
Separating similar but different concepts.
It's all about making information more accessible and digestible.
And less confusing.
Exactly.
It's about recognizing that learning can be challenging.
And that learners need support and guidance.
You know, I'm thinking about a time when I was trying to learn a new software program.
Oh, yeah.
And the tutorial was just this wall of text. No visuals, no real-world examples.
Just a data dump.
Exactly. And I felt so lost and overwhelmed.
I've been there. It's the worst.
If only they had started with the most common useful functions.
Or use some diagrams or screenshots.
Right. It would have made such a difference.
It's like the difference between reading a dry technical manual and watching a demo video.
Totally. So you can actually see how the software works in action.
Exactly.
So we've talked about the importance of empathy, but I'm wondering, are there any other overarching principles or mindsets that Kohler's emphasizes in his book?
Well, one that really stands out to me is the idea of being intentional and deliberate in your teaching.
So not just winging it.
No, it's about having a plan, a purpose, a strategy.
It's like anything else. The more you practice and refine your approach, the better you'll become.
Absolutely. And Kohler's provides a whole framework for thinking about teaching in a more intentional way.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. He talks about the importance of setting clear learning objectives.
So what do you want your learners to be able to do or understand by the end of the lesson.
Exactly. And once you have those objectives in mind, you can start to design your instruction in a way that supports those goals.
Like having a roadmap for your lesson.
Precisely. You know where you're starting, where you're going, and how you're going to get there.
That makes so much sense.
Helps you stay focused and avoid getting sidetracked.
Okay, so we've got empathy, intentionality. Are there any other key takeaways from Color's work that you think would be helpful for our listeners?
Well, one that really resonates with me is the idea that teaching is ultimately about creating connections.
Connections.
Yes, connections between new information and existing knowledge, between abstract concepts and real-world examples between the subject matter and the learner's own life.
I love that it's like we're building bridges.
Helping learners see how everything fits together.
And the more connections we can help them make,
the deeper their understanding will be.
Remember those analogies we were talking about?
Of course.
They're essentially tools for creating connections.
Helping learners grasp new ideas by relating them to something familiar.
And when those connections click, it's like magic.
It is. It's like a light bulb going off.
Suddenly, something that seemed confusing or abstract becomes clear and meaningful.
And that's what makes teaching so rewarding.
Oh, when you see that spark of understanding in a learner's eyes.
It's an amazing feeling.
It really is. It makes all the effort worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Wow, this has been such an incredible deep dive.
I agree.
We've explored so many practical tips and strategies for teaching without creating confusion.
From the importance of empathy and intentionality to the power of analogies and the art of making connections.
And what's really striking to me is that these insights are not just for teachers in formal settings.
No, they're for anyone who wants to share their knowledge, skills, or experiences with others.
Whether you're a parent, a manager, a friend.
These principles can help us communicate more effectively.
And create more engaging and impactful learning experiences.
Well said.
So as we wrap up this final part of our deep dive, what's the one thing you hope our listeners will take away from this conversation?
I think the most important takeaway is that teaching is a skill, and like any skill, it can be learned and improved upon.
We're not all born great teachers.
Right, but we can all become better teachers.
By being mindful of these principles and strategies.
And by being open to learning and growing.
I love that, and I'd add that we can all be learners too.
Absolutely.
No matter how much we already know.
There's always something new to discover.
A new connection to me.
A new aha moment to experience.
Beautifully said, the journey of learning is a lifelong adventure.
It is, and it's an adventure worth taking.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the art of teaching without creating confusion.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you found it insightful and inspiring.
I know I have.
And to our amazing listeners, we'd love to hear from you what resonated with you most from this conversation. What are your own tips for teaching, Sue? Effectively share your insights with us on social media. Using the hashtag Deep Dive Teaching, we're all in this learning journey together.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening, everyone.